I'm going to talk about God sets up to step up. You know, every time I watch a movie, and I realize in the movie, the producers will always arrange the plot that you can expect something, especially when a good person is about to be killed, then suddenly somebody came to rescue. Especially the Justice League, the Superman, the Batman, the whatever man, the Spider-Man. All of a sudden, the enemy was beating them up or beating one of them up, and then for whatever reason, the good guy came and saved the whole event. Now, what I'm seeing here is that there's always a plot. And I realize that in reality, God sets up some of these plots for reality. He sets it up so that there will be a moment of time that He will step up to show forth His mighty glory. I want you to see some of the miraculous work that has been done in all the records in the Bible, and particularly so right from the beginning in Egypt, where we could see many things happen between Moses and Pharaoh. And this is one of those areas that we need to understand a little bit more what God is trying to do when He set up a situation so that He can step up for the situation. But there's one thing I want you to realize is this. When God is about to give you a miracle, things may become worse. When God is about to give you a miracle, things may become worse. Too often time, we get caught up with the worst situation, and we become panicked and not able to cope up or fight against the struggles and the problems. And most of the time, people get themselves to a point of losing the battle and let go of what they should do. And this is exactly what happened among the Israelites in Egypt. Everything seems to be worse. There is this epic showdown between Moses versus Pharaoh. This epic showdown was simply because God has spoken to Moses to deliver the entire Israel from Egypt. He went up to Pharaoh, and the worst thing could ever happen is he told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh, the Bible described to me that he doubled the labor of the Israelites. Situations grew worse instead of getting better. I find this battle as a gruesome time. Or some people, in all simplicity, we say it is a difficult moment. I'm going to share with you four moments of time where God set up and He began to step up. The first thing was the difficult moment or the gruesome moment. The moment of your own personal difficulties. When Moses came to Pharaoh, the Bible tells me that God hardened the Pharaoh's heart. But then you must read earlier that Pharaoh himself, in his lifestyle, he was actually already hardening his heart. If you read through the 10 plagues, the first 5 plagues, the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. So all this while, he was hardening his heart. And God allows that to take place. You see, God knows the hearts of human and can anticipate their kind of responses. So we are beginning to realize that when God arises, the devil usually starts to react. Are you with me? I want you to capture all these things very slowly. Start to react. And this is like a kind of a pandemonium where a man walks through a group of pigeons. The moment you walk through, the pigeon flies away. And that's the kind of image I see when God walks through the plot of the enemy. And when he walks through the plot, the enemy will be in helter-skelter. They will be confused. And that is exactly what you need to see when we are facing a world that threatens your future. When we begin to see the policies and the constitution that tries to threaten your generational future. But we can see today that when God walks in, brothers and sisters, nothing is going to stop him. Nothing is going to stop him. We hear news every day. Moral degradation, natural disasters, evil events, moral decay. Every time when this thing began to happen, God is actually coming. I look at all these things as signs of God coming into this place. God is coming into the place where we thought this is a hopeless situation, but God is coming in. You see, friends, these are signs that my God is coming. God is coming because there is commotion. God is coming because there are troubles. God is coming because there are earthquakes. These are signs to tell me the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when the Israelites were having trouble, God showed to Israel when he sent Moses. And Moses told them, "The I Am sent me." God is coming. There's another image that I want you to see is about Israel under Joshua's crossing of the River Jordan. You and I are probably very familiar with this ridiculous moment. We had a difficult moment, but now this is a ridiculous moment. Why is it ridiculous? Because the Lord told Joshua to cross the River Jordan during the flooding time. In the eyes of God, Jordan is already overflowing. But if you and I, as human beings, we will use our own intellectual rationalities by saying, why not wait? Why not wait until the flood recedes? Then we can cross over. Are you with me? You see, many of us will use our common sense. Isn't it true? We will wait for something to improve, then only we will do. But here, the scripture tells me this is ridiculous. That God wants the people of Israel to cross during the flooding time. I think you and I will probably see that as ridiculous too, isn't it? In all natural sense, you will not even want to do anything stupid because it's difficult and it's ridiculous. Yet the Lord called us to do so. The Bible says, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. Why not wait? But then God says, cross over. You know why? Because God has a bigger picture. Are you with me? God has a bigger picture. God has a greater picture. You see, you and I may see the flooded Jordan in our own life, but God has a bigger picture. His mighty hand is able to show forth that he can deliver. We were afraid. We look at our circumstances. The place is flooding. My problem is flooding. My problem is increasing. I do not know how to get out of that problem. But the Lord says, I am going to deliver. You see, brothers and sisters, the crowd of more than 5,000 men, they were all hungry. You see, the natural sense will be like the disciples. The disciples told Jesus, why don't send them back? But the Lord says, go and find food for them. What? 5,000 people, it will be ridiculous. Isn't it true? Pastor, feed the 5,000 people. Man, I don't even have money to feed myself. You know, you will probably say that. Isn't it true? That was what the disciples did. But the Lord has a bigger picture. A bigger picture for you and I to see, no matter how ridiculous the situation is, he's going to show to you the rationale behind the ridiculous thing is that he is our provider. Many a time we go through all this and we said, it's tough, it's tough, it's tough, it's ridiculous. Sometimes our journey come to the cul-de-sac, come to a point of stalemate. We do not know how to get out, but God has a bigger picture. He says, when there is no way, I will make a way. Isn't it true? You see, there are times when we will be like the widow of Zarephath. We just do not know where to get the next meal. And then we are coming to the end of our life, and we decide, says, why not end? Just like a little young girl committed suicide because she was so pressured by the parents to do well, because the parents are scholars and they are achievers. And the daughter was born not as an achiever, slow in her thinking. Because they're successful, they will bring her to a training center and give her all the tutorial kind of a work for her to improve her capacity. Until she came to a point, she was so pressured, and she thought after she graduated, she will be liberated, and she was placed in a working force. The mother wants her to be in the best working force. And then she discovered she was reprimanded because she was slow. Nobody could understand her. She finally gave up her life and committed suicide. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that sometimes there are people around us who are like widow of Zarephath, waiting for the day to make their last meal. But the Lord has a bigger picture, brothers and sisters. God has a bigger picture. You know what He did? He actually used the widow of Zarephath as an instrument to provide for the prophet. To provide for the prophet to show that God is able to use His inexhaustible provision in heaven to bless her life. Not only that she has enough food to eat, but her life continues. Hallelujah. You see, church, you and I will probably come to an end and say, this is ridiculous. It's just messed up. I don't think it has any more meaning for me. We come into another country. We do not have any loved ones around us. We feel sometimes alone, not many friends. And we just ponder and ponder, is it worthwhile coming? Is it worthwhile staying? Is it worthwhile? You say, listen, brothers and sisters, there's only one thing. If you and I keep our path in Jesus, He has a bigger picture for you. You may see it in our circumstances that it's not worthwhile. It's ridiculous. But God says, don't ever look at it as ridiculous, because I am the Lord your provider. I am the Lord that will open up the way. I am the Lord that will set you free. I am the Lord that will take you out of the storm. When you say it is ridiculous, I say there's going to be a revival. That's exactly what my God is doing today. You and I today can stand and say, praise the Lord. No matter how ridiculous, my God is sovereign. Amen. My God is sovereign. We can hold on even longer in times of trouble. You see, when it doesn't make sense, God steps up and reveals His purpose. Isn't it true? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for Abraham to offer Isaac at Mount Moriah. It doesn't make sense. You know why? Because he was the only promised son. It doesn't make sense to sacrifice him at the altar and to kill him. It doesn't make sense. How many of you know sometimes God's request doesn't make sense? And we struggle so much trying to figure out, God, make some sense, please. Because I need some common sense. It's so uncommon today, Lord. You see, church, we just look at God's word and we don't take it seriously. We don't even flourish with the word of God. We grow out of emotion, not grow out of the word of God. And that is very dangerous, because sooner or later, they can be in the house of God for a while. They will backslide after that. Because you're just growing out of emotion. When the circumstances is good, you feel good. Am I right? I feel good. But when the circumstance is bad, you feel bad. But when you are in God's word, your whole entire demeanor, your whole entire makeup and lifestyle is very much gauged by the word and also engaged with the word. So I want to challenge you today, no matter what God is saying, His word is true. It can be ridiculous in your eyes today, but it will be true. I have gone through some ridiculous requests God made. Ridiculous requests. During my early years, when the Lord said, after my 3 years of my pioneering work in Johor, and the Lord says, get a shop house. Literally, one morning, woke me up and said, Kelvin, I want you to get 2 shop houses owned by one person. I said, man, it's going to be tough. And the Lord says, go and find it. That morning itself, I got up, I went to my landlord while I was renting a shop house upstairs, and I said, Mr. Go, do you know of anyone who owned 2 shop lots? God wants me to rent from him. And Mr. Go said, wow. He said, okay, I can help you. And I left. Believe it or not, it was just right after I spoke to him in the afternoon. A man came to him and said, Mr. Go, do you know of anybody who wants to rent my shop lots? I got 2 shop lots right there. God spoke to me in the morning, early morning. That morning itself, about 8, 9 o'clock, I went to the shop, told the man. In the afternoon, one man came. You think it's coincidence? You know what? To me, when I heard that, it was ridiculous. I only have about 30 people. How can I get 2 shop lots? 2 shop lots will cover at least about 120 people. I don't have the amount of money even to cover that. So I did. Cut the whole story short. I went to see the man. And God opened up the door. We rented and then we grew. And then after we grew about 7 years, the Lord says, go and buy a building. What? I said, God, I'm just growing and I don't even have enough funds to pay salary. How to buy a building? And the Lord told me that. And one of my members came and asked me, he said, Pastor, my company has this big place and there is the corner lot. No one wants to take the corner lot because it's a bit too big and it's about 1.4 million. Huh? I nearly knelt down. I said, God, have mercy on me. What are you suggesting to me? You see, there are a lot of time God gave us ridiculous suggestions. He did not go according to what I have. He was going according to my faith. Are you with me? Going according to my faith. So we took that place and we bought the building and took an installment, bank, and then we took an installment and we paid. Brothers and sisters, today it's still there, 3 floors, and the pastor who took over my work has extended next door another block. What an amazing work. That was a building that I find it was ridiculous for me to purchase, but God made it all possible. Somebody say amen. God made it all possible. There is another case here. This is a case where Jesus received a message from Mary and Martha that this friend of his called Lazarus is very sick. Now we are getting into an impossible moment now. Impossible. It was so sick that the Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 3 to 6, it says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard that, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. What? How do you fathom over this issue where somebody is sick and will be led to death, and then he says it is for God's glory? It doesn't sound right. I believe the sisters will be pondering and wondering as well, like many of us would do. In fact, John chapter 11, verse 40 says this. Jesus responded when he went over there. He says, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? I just can't help it but to see that God is setting up a situation. He's setting up a situation, allowing Lazarus to die. And on the fourth day, the Jewish register his death as permanent only on the fourth day. And on the fourth day, Jesus came. When they already registered him as permanently dead, then he came. We are seeing an impossible situation. And when Jesus came, he spoke forth, and you know the story. He called out Lazarus from the tomb when he was already permanently registered dead. Jesus did not come on the first day, neither the second day, nor the third day. Most of us, the third day, we will probably say he's already dead. But for the Jewish culture, it's on the fourth day. So Jesus came on the fourth day after the registration was confirmed. God is actually showing us there's going to be a breakthrough. No matter how impossible your situation is, when God walks in, he will call out your situation. He will call out your situation that seems dead. You will call out your situation that seems that it is impossible for any hope or help. He will call that out. And I see it many a time when people say, it is gone. It is gone. I've lost it. But the Lord came and delivered it. His timing is not our timing. Isn't it true? And God keeps saying, never give up on God. No matter how grim your circumstances may seem, never give up. You know, the greatest glory is going to happen when God overturns the humanly irreversible situation. God is going to get the greatest glory. When the impossible is right in front of you, many of us are not getting there yet. In fact, we walk away. We walk away. We are afraid for the impossible. Many of us question God for the world's problem, and we say it is impossible to live in this present time. Yes, it's true. But the Lord showed me the most impossible time of life. God came and called out the situation. The coming of the Lord was not a delay. It was never a denial. It may seem a delay, brother, but it's definitely not a denial. God is looking for maximum glory. A maximum glory that will reveal that God is the originator. He is the originator of that glory. We sometimes face our impossible tasks, but the greater glory is undeniable. Because Lazarus was called out of death and was raised from the dead. You know, brothers and sisters, you and I may be facing some of these constrained situations in your working place or in your life or in your home. I don't know. But the ultimate purpose will be highlighted. You see, when we are in the most impossible task, impossible, the ultimate purpose of God will be revealed. That's the one that I'm looking for. I want to look at God's ultimate purpose when the impossible situation is in front of me. Most of the time, when we face the impossible, we try to break the situation. We try to fight against the situation. But the Lord is trying to show us something else. He's trying to show you his ultimate purpose for your life. When the time you came and you said, I've been praying for 10 to 12 years, there seems to be no answer as yet, Pastor. I want you to know, in the eyes of man, God may delay his promises. But in the eyes of God, he does not deny his promises. Are you with me? In the eyes of man, you may say, God, why are you not bringing in your promises? But God says, it will come. He's not denying it. It will come. You see, prayers may be unanswered, is never a denial of His promises. I have many unanswered prayer, even till today. I have prayed way back in the 80s. Till today, I have not received an answer. And we are talking about 30 over years. But I have seen and have a glimpse of some of the elements of those answers. But I have not seen the fulfillment of the complete answer. Brothers and sisters, that was not a denial of His promise. Sometimes we pray and things doesn't seem to be working as yet. Listen to me very carefully. It may be impossible. But the Bible keeps telling me, with Christ and in Christ, all things are possible. Are you there? This is a matter of your belief. It's a matter of time. We need to change our understanding of our beliefs. We are too caught up with our circumstances. What we are not focusing what the Bible is saying to us. If you look at the situation of this unanswered prayer, I begin to realize this incomparable grace and the power of God. When He manifested through the time of struggles which I could not understand, but the moment He came, I began to have the foretaste of His grace and His power in life. Yes, it was impossible. I had that little foretaste when I was a young lad, when I was praying God and I got saved. I said, Lord, save my family. You know, when you start praying to the Lord, how many of you know God answers prayer? Amen? When you start praying to the Lord and you believe in God and you trust God, every word He says, even every dot in the Bible, you believe that. And I will have no shadow of doubt to see the possibility taking place because of God's intervention. This is the incomparable grace. Can never be compared. And the manifestation of His power intervening in times like this. I do not know some of your impossible tasks. Impossible in your family to see something good to happen. Yep. But the Bible tells me this, and it shows me one principle, that the darkest hour is just before dawn. Amen? The darkest hour is just before dawn. You thought it was over, but God steps up, and the host of angels begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. The host of angels begin to cry out, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. The purpose behind the impossible time. And I want you to understand this. Every time when I face up with the impossibilities, I keep asking myself, what is the purpose? Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone through a situation and said, God, what is your purpose? Why do you do this? Why is it happening to me? Why? Isn't it true? Instead of reacting over the circumstances, I ask the question, show me your purpose. You see, Jesus suffered for my sin. Have you ever thought what will be in the mind of Jesus? It's a very difficult, impossible, and gruesome situation. But He suffered for my sin. And I'm going to ask this, why? Why did Jesus need to suffer for my sin? I need to know that purpose. This is something that we all need to ask ourselves. You see, every time when I get through all these problems in the life, I begin to ask the purpose, and I keep having this one answer. This one answer, Jesus Christ. And I began to look into the scripture. We've been looking for the answers. We look for the answers in all the problems, in all the troubles, in all the circumstances. We look at it and we discover Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the reason. And not only that, He is the answer to my needs. Jesus Christ is the answer. Every time I look at the purpose, is Jesus Christ is the hope to my struggles. Nothing else, not the family, not any of my professional friends. No, nothing. It's just about Jesus. And I began to discover He is the way for my deliverance. No matter what I go through, no matter how impossible the situation, the answer the Lord gave me, Jesus Christ. And people try to demean Jesus by not even living it out for Him. And they expect their life to be successful. They expect their life to be going strong. They expect to say, well, I live for Jesus when it's convenient. I begin to see a lot of these characteristics that are really bothering my heart. Really bothering my heart. I saw that every time when I get into it, I saw the answer is Jesus Christ. You see, friends, a lot of us, being human, we always look for a smooth and easy way. Am I right? We always look for a smooth and easy way. We get very annoyed when it's not smooth. When things get more complicated, we get more confused, isn't it? We get more frustrated and we get angrier. But then when I saw that, and the Lord showed me that everything I see in my circumstances, Jesus become the center of all those things. He is the central of anything that I've lost. There must be a purpose behind those things that I lost. What was the purpose behind the things that I'm going through, the struggle that I will go through? I saw Jesus as the center. Every time when I saw Jesus as the center, all these things start to come out. Just like the pigeons start to fly everywhere. I saw Jesus walking right straight in. There's not a group of people, with the moment of time, we call it the terrifying moment. The terrifying moment is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has to fight against Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar built an image and he expects everyone to bow before that image. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's great three Hebrew friends, refused to bow down. And they were discovered. And so they were brought in before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, with full of pride, forgot that God has given him so much through Daniel's prophecy. Yet at the same time, here he is demanding that the three of them bow. Otherwise, he's going to increase 7 times hotter in the fiery furnace. And the three Hebrew friends answered him with such boldness. He said, we will not bow down because my God will deliver us. Even if he does not, we will still not bow down before your idol. What a challenge. What a defiant. And Nebuchadnezzar obviously was even angrier right now. And he decided to increase the furnace 7 times hotter. How many of you know that we face terrifying moments? We face moments where people who are in authority, that will terrify you and said, if you don't do this, we will penalize you. Isn't it true? Just because they have a lot of authority, a lot of power, and they think they can do anything they want about your life. Terrifying moment. When the Lord showed me this, I realized that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to be thrown into the fiery furnace, that was the moment, brothers and sisters, when you began to stand up for the truth. Even though the world may throw you into the fiery furnace, it can be 7 times hotter, it may seem very painful, but brothers and sisters in the Lord, listen to me very carefully. When the Lord puts you in that situation, allow you to be in that situation, and you probably say, oh, I don't want to be there. But the Lord says, go in. But when you get in, Nebuchadnezzar, who decided to throw you in, was shocked for his life. He saw somebody else inside. Somebody say amen. And when you are in it, God is in it with you. I am very sure, no matter what your situation is, God is there with you. You thought you were by yourself. You thought you were in a fiery furnace. You thought you were in a terrifying moment. And then you said, oh God, where are you? The Lord is right there with you. You were ignorant. You were blind. You did not see. He is right there. And all the time you thought it's you, you, you. It's all about you. I am here, Lord. Oh God, where are you? Lord, I'm suffering. Where are you? God is with you. And I am very sure of that, because every time when I sit in my room and I start to pray and I lift up the needs before God, I knew God was there. I was not alone. My children were all working. My wife was working. I'm just right there in the room seeking God and said, Lord, what should I do? There was no answer, but the Lord says, I am with you. Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw that, he responded to the situation. I want you to listen to his response. This is a very powerful response. When he took the three of them out of the fiery furnace, can you imagine their hair was not even singed? And there, their clothes were all fresh, not even burnt. Nebuchadnezzar saw with his own eyes the power of God in times of terrifying moments. Listen to his response. He says this, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. In verse 29, it says this, therefore I make a decree that any people, listen to the decree, that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. What a powerful response. Why? Because when you and I see the extreme situation, when you see a terrifying situation, a miracle is coming along your way. Somebody say amen. A miracle is coming. When the storm seems ridiculous and strong and impossible and is terrifying your life, listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus is passing through that storm. And when you and I begin to see persecution escalates, I want you to know that the presence of Jesus will be made known. In times like this, terrifying, intense heat, as though no one can escape, true enough, God steps up. He has allowed these and set up the situation so that when he stepped up, all glory goes to him. Isaiah 40, verse 4 to 5. Listen to this. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And this is what I like. And all people will see it together. Somebody say amen. You see, the manifestation of God is not going to be hidden somewhere. It's going to be seen by many people. God's presence, God's power, in times of those moments, he will reveal himself. I have seen his power. I have seen his power from day one I came to know Jesus. I have seen it. He has never hidden any of his power from my life. And I want to rejoice. That's why in my 30 years of my ministry, I keep rejoicing. No matter how difficult my situation at that point of time, I knew that my God has showed his power before, and he is going to show it again. Isaiah 43 tells me this in verse 2 to 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Somebody say amen. He said, when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set up ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like saying when you pass through a constitution that is not worthy before God, he says, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers of different policies that will demean the name of Jesus, he says, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fiery policies and immoralities, he says, you will not be burned. No matter what we go through, God is with his children. No matter what. Are you there? Sometimes you wait for the feeling, isn't it? I want to feel that God is with me. You forgot. The three Hebrew friends were in the fiery furnace. God was there. Somebody say amen. No matter how terrifying your moment is. There's one thing you must realize. Is that God steps up according to his schedule. It's not according to your cry, your demand. God, please come now. He didn't. He didn't come according to your schedule. He came according to his schedule. Abraham waited for so long to have his promised child. He failed the Lord prior to that. But then actually at the end of the whole scenario of the event of how he had Isaac, I saw in the scripture that God fitted Abraham inside God's plan. How do I know that? I want you to see Matthew chapter 1 verse 17. Someone read the scripture last week. And this is found in Matthew chapter 1 verse 17. It says this. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Every single one of them, they fit into God's perfect plan. There is none that came after Abraham were exempted. It was part of God's plan. Do you think you are an accident here? Somebody saying? No. Don't say amen. I like someone said in one article, he says that, how could anyone get depressed when right from the beginning of time, when they were swimming among all the millions, and they were the one went in first, and there came the being. You were the first among the millions. That's how you exist. How can you ever think that you are lousy and useless? You are the best swimmer right from the beginning. Isn't it true? You swam with a little tail, with no webs, nothing at all. And all you had was just your head. And you went in first. I believe that when you went in first, God has a plan. Are you there with me? God has a plan. Even though my brother and I, we are 7 years apart. Never understood why it took my mom and dad so long to decide to have another one. Obviously, the rest of my siblings say, you came by accident. Be it accident or not, in the eyes of man, it may be. But in the eyes of God, it was never an accident. It was planned. Amen? If it's not planned, how would I ever be here right in front of you? God has all that power. God steps up right according to his schedule. There is no delay. There is no denial. But you know something, friends? Sometimes God slows down. Many of you feel very frustrated when God slows down, isn't it? Because you interpreted that God slows down. You said, oh, God, why didn't you just do it now? I want it now. Sounds like as though patience is running out. You want it to happen. Why can't you do and help this guy improve his life? Why don't you? Why don't you bless this person? Why don't you get him to achieve it right now? And we look at it as though it is God's timing that is slow. I begin to realize there is a reason why he actually slows down certain time. You want to know why? I'm not going to put in a slide, but I expect you to turn to your Bible. And I want you to read this. This is very interesting. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 14. Are you ready for that? Why did God slow down his promises, his plans? I want you to listen to this. This is something that's going to help all of us and transform our mindset. Are you ready for that? Somebody say amen. Okay, let me read to you. Are you ready? Verse 8 says this, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Did you see the purpose behind that? Okay, let's go further. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In other words, don't take your time. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people you ought to be? Then he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Somebody say amen. Come on. Oh, this word is telling you, why did God slow down his promise as you understand slowness? Because he's waiting for you not only to come to repentance, as some of them think, oh, let me come to church and repent, and then I am saved. Oh, no, sir. You can repent, but the Bible says, what kind of people you ought to be. You are not going to come to church and repent and say you are saved. You are only saved when you live a life of holiness. Oh, my. Am I preaching to somebody? Am I preaching to somebody? Oh, man, I just get excited over this. Oh, a lot of us are just making a mockery of Christianity. Real mockery. The thing playing church is doing church. God is not interested in playing church and doing church. He's interested in living as a church. Godly lives, spotless, blameless. That's why he is slow in coming back. The wrath of God is coming, brothers and sisters. He said, but don't take that for granted. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Oh, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. God set up the situations for his perfect plan to be carried out. It must be done according to God's schedule. You see, all of us need to be placed in his perfect plan. You may be running out of your patience. Listen carefully. If you are running out of your patience, then let God deal with your patience. It is not his time, therefore it is not his time. Don't run against it. The same thing, God opened up the promised land for Israelites. But the Bible said they were kept in Egypt for 400 years. Did you know the Bible said that? For 400 years, and he stated the reason. The reason is this. He says the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. It is kept there. The Israelites were not ready to get out yet. They have to be kept in Egypt for 400 years. Why? Because the sin of the Amorites are not full as yet. Jesus came when the world was so full of sin. I want you to know he is slow in anger and he's abounding in grace and mercy. And while the world is sinning and sinning, and you may be thinking, look at the news today. It's getting from bad to worse. We don't have the kind of life when we were young. Some of us would say that, isn't it true? It's getting from bad to worse. We used to live a better life. We used to be respectful, but not today. And you wonder, how can we live in this scenario? It's very true. But the sin is not complete yet. The sin is not full. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. If you listen to this, this is a prophecy. Wait until the sin is full. Jesus is coming back again. Are you there with me? The sin will be full. So if you are saying, oh man, this is not good news, this is not good news, expect those news. But I can tell you one thing. Jesus is going to walk through it. He's coming again. He's going to walk through in the midst of the fullness of sin. As what he did when Jesus came to die for our sins. And now he's going to come to deliver us from this world of sin. Are you there? There is a great hope and there is great expectation. When the world is twirling around, I want you to know God is going to step up very soon. So whatever you go through in life, don't worry. God is going to step up very soon. Some of us, we want the presence of His glory to fill our home. But we start to resist the work of God that He is setting up for His glory. We went against that. We dismiss all the work that He was trying to do. Listen carefully. Let God work in your children's life. Don't fight against God's ways. Let God do the work on your children's life. Are you with me? When you try to fight against it, you are always showing God. God, I want this to happen. You, what you're saying is, this is my way, Lord. This is my way. I think this is best for my kid. No, this is not the best for your kid. The best is God's best for your kid. Are you with me? So we need to let go. Let God do the work. We sow seeds. We sow seeds. We sow seeds into their lives. Let God do the work in their lives. Don't go against what He is setting up for your children. When He step up, He's going to step up for them. And when He step up for them, nobody is going to stop that. Somebody say amen. Nobody is going to stop that. God is ready to step up when we allow Him to set it up for His glory. You know why? Because God doesn't simply want us to feel good. He just wants us to be good. A lot of time, we always think about me. You know, God, I'm hurt. God, I'm frustrated. A lot of time, I sat down wondering why people get so easily frustrated with our circumstances. You know why? Because we are a bunch of selfish people. Everything is about me. Oh, Lord, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm angry. Oh, Lord. It's all about me all the way. Lord, don't you know how I feel? I'm not happy. So what? It's all about me. I'm not happy. You know, there are people I just wish I want to tell them, if you're not happy, put your head in the toilet bowl and flush your head. Wake up. It's not about you. You live for Him. The reason why you exist for His glory. Are you with me?
And that's something we got to change our perspective. So whenever your children's life is, don't rush to God and say, God, please do something for them. Help them and do something. Convict them, change them, transform them. Hey, don't tell God what he's supposed to do. My goodness. A lot of time you're doing that, isn't it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? We keep telling people, I'm angry, I want to... Yeah, I agree. I want my children's life to be changed. Yes, yes, we all want. We sow seeds. Yes, sow seeds, okay? Sow seeds. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sow seeds. But don't force it. Huh? Don't force it. Let God transform the person's life. Does it make sense? If you want him to step up, let him set it up. Huh? It's true. And let me close. It's because we are always on the road of feeling good. We don't want to be good. And Isaiah said this. I want to conclude this. This is very important. Isaiah 48, verse 9 to 11. It says, listen to the word. He says, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. It's for my own name's sake. Whatever God does, he set it up so that when he step up, it's for his name's sake. So whatever your situation is, whether it's difficult, whether it's impossible, whether it is ridiculous, whether it is terrifying moment, listen very carefully. Everything that he does, he's going to set it up so that when he step up, it's for his namesake. All that he does is for his namesake. Even though you may be refined as silver for my namesake. And because of all that, I finally realized, why did God set up the cross for his son? It was a difficult time. It was an impossible moment. It was a ridiculous thing. Why set up the cross for his son? Why set that up? People ask the question, why Jesus don't just appear? Because the whole entire cross speaks about death and resurrection. Without the cross, you will never know that there is resurrection for your life. Today, I can be walking and talking and eating and sleeping and working. I know that the day will come, I will be raised up unto Jesus Christ because there is resurrection. I am not going to walk every day as though my circumstances is going to swallow me up. I am walking because of what he has done. He has set me free. Why did God set up the cross? So that he is there to redeem your life and my life. He set up the cross so that you can be set free. I can be set free. Free from what? I'm already free. I am free to spend my money. I am free to travel. I am free. No, it's nothing to do with that freedom. Freedom from the terror of the enemy's life. You are free from the devil's hand. You are free from the sin and the crushing arms of the enemy. I am free from worrying about what is going to happen to the home. But when they have Jesus, the glory of God stays in their home. Hallelujah. That's why it's so vital that we teach and preach and share and tell about Jesus every day to somebody. Somebody. Somebody needs to hear, whether it's our grandchildren, our children, our fathers, our mothers, I don't care, but somebody needs to hear that.
Because God is setting up a lot of situations that you may not be happy about within your emotion. But I can tell you one thing. When God set it up, He is going to step up. He's going to say, I will deliver you. When you say, I do not know what to do, He says, I will show you the way. When you say, there is no hope, I am the hope. When you say, there is no possibility, I am all possible for you. That is what God will do for your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.